This will be one crowded courtroom.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The admitted mastermind of the biggest Ponzi scheme in history, Bernard Madoff, heads to court today in Manhattan for sentencing. Prosecutors want to give him 150 years. The defense is calling for 12. Marketplace's Sam Eaton is live with us here in the studio. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So what are we likely to see at today's hearing?
Well, Steve, it should be a dramatic event on both sides. You have to remember that this sentence is Madoff's punishment for essentially swindling tens of thousands of investors out of about $65 billion, all to fund a lavish lifestyle for his family. The judge will likely hear from some of those victims today as they call for harsh punishment. But Madoff also plans to speak out about the shame he felt and the pain he's caused. Madoff's lawyers are urging the judge to set aside all the emotions surrounding the case as he decides the sentence. Obviously not an easy thing to do, but it does look like Madoff, who's now 71, will spend most, if not all, of his remaining years behind bars.
So is this the end of the case? I mean, or is this a sense of closure for the victims?
Well, there may be a small sense of closure for some, Steve, but for most of the Madoff investors, the battle to get at least some of their money back is just beginning. And it could take months, if not years, to resolve. The main problem here is that only about $1 billion of the $65 billion that disappeared has been recovered so far. A government insurance program for failed brokerage firms will cover some of that, but the decision on how to divvy up the rest is already sparking fierce battles between investors.
So are these investors, Sam, essentially fighting over pennies then? I mean, how can the settlements possibly approach the billions that have all but disappeared?
Well, that's the $65 billion question, Steve. So far, the recovered funds will barely pay the claims that have been approved, and there's a mountain of pending claims behind those. And I should say not included in this group are the tens of thousands of people who invested in Madoff indirectly through so-called feeder funds. They're looking at potentially years before the courts decide their fate. In the meantime, the court continues to go after Madoff's personal property. That includes several lavish homes, a $2 million yacht, and about $80 million that his wife claimed as her own. The bottom line, though, Steve, is that there are still going to be a lot of disappointed people once all the dust settles.
All right. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us in the studio. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
We're going to take a peek at the numbers in just a moment, but it's a good idea to note tomorrow's the halfway mark of the year. And for broader stocks, those in the S&P 500, it might as well be New Year's Day. That's because the index today is pretty much where it was then. But don't let that fool you into believing it's been an uneventful 2009. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So here we are at the midpoint of the year, and we've got these two indices that really are pretty much where they were at the beginning of the year.
And clearly, as you know, since the numbers are pretty much where they were when the year started, that must mean nothing happened, right?
But a lot's happened since the first of the year.
Right. And as we remember painfully, first the markets went down like mad, about 20%. And then when people were getting ready to shoot themselves, they turned around and rallied 25% to get back where they started.
Now, these are broad stocks, right? I mean, what does this mean to the average Joe or the average Jane who maybe are watching the stock market right now and thinking to themselves, you know, I want to get involved, or maybe they're just taking their blood pressure?
Well, one thing it means is if you're a cardiologist handling investors, you had a great year because there was stress going down and stress going up. For an average person, I think what this shows is how much better off you are just doing nothing rather than trying to react to the latest piece of news, because a typical person would have sold out when the market was going down, would have bought when the market was going up, and would have less money than they have just having sat around and done nothing.
So here we are at the half point of the year. What do we expect for the rest of this year?
We expect things to be exciting.
That's the only limb you'll go out on.
Well, it's when they asked some legendary figure, what will the market do? And he said, fluctuate. So, I mean, if Steve knew, I don't think I'd be telling anybody. I think I'd be out getting rich.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, Steve, and a rich regard to you.
It's been quite the roller coaster ride for some S&P stocks, by the way. Sprint, Nextel, XL Capital, and Ford, to name a few, have all more than doubled in value this year after tanking in the meltdown. In Wall Street, markets open after a mixed bag last week. The S&P fell slightly overall, but the Nasdaq added about 0.5% for the week. Asian markets were mixed today. European stocks are mostly higher right now. Confidence is returning to London's financial center. That, at least, is the upbeat message today from the UK's main business group, known as the CBI. But many analysts remain cautious about recovery talk. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, has more.
The financial services sector in London is more optimistic than it has been in 2 years. The industry expects revenues to rise between now and September. That's after 7 quarters of sharp declines. The CBI says banks, brokers, and insurance companies may be on the gradual road to recovery. But the group is far from euphoric. It says the banks remain mired in debt and financial firms are still laying off staff. The group says another 13,000 jobs could go in the next 3 months. David Buick is with the BGC Money Broking Group. He says financial services can't recover while house prices continue to fall.
You need to have everybody's main asset to stop falling in value and for the unemployment line to stop lengthening before we can actually say we're underway again.
The CBI itself predicts that UK unemployment won't peak until the second quarter of next year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, the Swiss newspaper Sonntag reports banking giant UBS will pay the United States somewhere between $2.5 and $4.5 billion to settle a tax probe in the next 2 weeks. The U.S. government is suing UBS to get the names of more than 50,000 Americans who have hidden $15 billion in assets from the Internal Revenue Service. Now, lawyers say the IRS already has the names of 10,000 American UBS clients. Hey, share your thoughts with us inside our website, marketplace.org. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is there, marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.